Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. No troubles, trials, or stress. I experienced some this morning. So it's got a little bit more of a meaning now here. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited to be here. And Jesus is coming. I like to mention that pretty much every Sunday because he is. And we're watching world events take place rapidly every week, increasingly closer together, those birth pangs. Jesus is coming. And so we need to be ready, right, people? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day you have given us. We rejoice because it is a day that you have made. And Lord, right now, we just commit the balance of this service to you for your glory. Like George said, it's all about Jesus. And Lord, that's what this church is about, Crossfire, that everything we do, it's about Jesus and about his glory, his honor, and praise that he deservedly gets from his people. And we thank you, we praise you again for the opportunity. Let your word touch each one of our hearts. Challenge us to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So no troubles, trials, stress. Please, we're Christians. Right? See, life can be troublesome, can it? It can be very troublesome. And Job chapter 5, verse 7 says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. It's a lot of trouble, huh? Yeah. You ever been at the camp, even at our little fire in the church here, we started up and the sparks are flying up. Well, according to Job, that's how many troubles you and I have in life. So, and it can be tiring and frustrating and disappointing and fearful. It can be painful. A lot of things happen to our lives. And as we entered this world after a pretty difficult journey from mom's womb, some rather enthusiastic woman took us in her hands and slapped our backside. What a great beginning, huh? It was pretty much the sign of things to come, actually. How many of us really did expect when we became Christians that all our troubles would disappear? Anybody here expect that? Some people do. The truth is they don't. It says in Acts chapter 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And again, I preach a sermon. It's an encouraging sermon, but we got to be told the truth too, don't we?
Amen.
Because a lot of people aren't hearing the truth today, and they're thinking it's just all fluff and all kinds of things going on, that life, our best days are ahead, but Jesus told us to be prepared. So our motto very quickly becomes no trouble, trials, and stress. And here's what C.S. Lewis said. Life with God is not immunity from difficulties, but peace in difficulties. Amen?
Amen?
The world is not a trouble-free zone. There are Christians who are often left confused and in a daze when their lives don't seem to work out like other people. There are many good Christian people find things happening in their lives that they've never chosen. And I can think of people right now that are disappointed. They come to the Lord and it seems like things went from bad to worse for some reason. But I tell you what, they forget that we have an enemy against our soul. We have an enemy. Some Christians, they look at other people to gauge their success in their walk with the Lord. And you should never do that. You should never compare yourself with someone else. God is working on you in maybe a whole different way than he is somebody down the street. Amen?
Amen?
And people get discouraged when they say, well, those Christians down there seem like everything's working out. They got new car, new home, vacations, and I'm beating my head against the wall every day. And they're comparing themselves, and that is not what God has called us to do. See, crisis in relationship, sickness, bereavement, financial difficulties, unemployment or other anxious and heartbreaking circumstances. None of them sought these things. They just happen in life, don't they? You wake up one day and your whole world's turned upside down. Things just happen. And all these people would rather be free from these troubles, but are left feeling regret, guilt, and frustration in their life. So how can this be? How can it be? Many heard and responded to a preaching that seemed to suggest that when they gave their lives to Jesus, they would never again have a sad day. I've heard messages like that, where preachers have preached sermons and encourage people to come forward, and the Lord's going to take away all their trials and their problems, and that is not the truth. And I do believe that the Bible can help us, though. In fact, it can help us cut through some of the rubbish those other well-meaning Christians who have never had a crisis in their life feed us. But if you haven't had a crisis in your life, I guarantee you, you will. Amen? And Jesus was and is the most honest man who ever walked the earth. Most honest man who ever walked the earth. And his teachings given to help us, not hinder us, is where we will find our way through the maze of human experience. It says in John chapter 16, verse through verse 20, then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father, they said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while, and we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? See, the verse in this passage that always stands out is really in John chapter 16, verse 33. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Did you hear that? Boy, it's quiet in here. It's almost like you're all quiet, wondering if the preacher's going to make it. But listen again, these things I've spoken on you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. See, tribulation can be talking about pressure, affliction, anguish, burden, persecutions, all kinds of trouble. But Jesus said right here, I have overcome the world. So we look at Jesus, and he'll give you a peace, whatever you're facing today. And truly understand this last verse, which we will look at in a moment. We need to examine some of the things that precede it. The scene is the upper room, the time just a matter of hours before Jesus' impending arrest in the garden. There's some of the last moments Jesus has with his disciples before his death, and probably the last opportunity to say many of the things he really wanted to say to them. He clearly seeks to prepare them for a rough ride. He knew what was ahead. Whenever a preacher says, follow Jesus, and everything's going to go okay. It's going to go okay. You're not going to have any problems. That's not the truth. Jesus was always honest. He clearly seeks to prepare them for a rough ride. He says in John chapter 16, verses 20, 22, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. I always like Jesus. He's always got that good news on the end of that comment, doesn't he? A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. No man can take your joy from you. They may think they can and try, but in reality they can't, because it's a joy that should be an inner being within your inner self and a peace that no man can take away from you. And these disciples experience that, as we can read about them throughout the scriptures. In the immediate, they may well grieve his death, But long term, they will experience grief many more times in their life as they preach the gospel. And right now, all creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. We have hope, people. And this is also prophetic to us of the way things are as we await his return for us. Some of you sitting in here right now are facing trials and tribulations and stress within your life. But I tell you what, I can honestly stand here because of the word of God and say that Jesus is your hope. He's your peace. He's your joy. He's your deliverer. He's your helper. And he's your soon coming king. I'll tell you what, I keep on going on for a long time on that one. Man, I get excited. Wow. That's the Jesus we serve. Hallelujah. See, he illustrates the universal experience of travail and sorrow by a woman in childbirth whose pain is forgotten when her baby arrives. Any mom will tell you, though, that the pain is severe enough while you wait and that the wait is much longer than desired. Amen, women? The thought does cross most mothers' mind, is this worth it? Nevertheless, this suffering brings a new life into the world, and this is always an occasion for joy. It's always an occasion for joy. The hardest thing for the disciples to hear, as we read in verse 32 of John 16, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." See, Jesus tells them that this secure, intimate, holy huddle that they have will be scattered, and they will then have the road test, their true discipleship, where they live. And you know something? When we're together, that's why it's important to be in church on Sunday mornings and to fellowship. This is where our strength comes from, is from each other's. Amen? And many people, a lot of times in the service, they would get all excited, pumped up, and joyful, and that's okay to, when that happens and everything, but that isn't the reality of our life when we're together. This is where we come together and encourage one another and help each other's out, prepare us for when we walk out back those doors, because I tell you, that's when the true tests really begin. Amen? When you're all by yourself, when you wake up Monday morning and you got to go into your job, face a difficult situation, or you got to go to a neighbor or to a family member, that's where the real test happens in your life. Or you have to go to the doctor, whatever. That's where you're all by yourself and we're not all with you. It's a whole different world, isn't it? And that's what was happening to the disciples here, that when Jesus left and had to go home, that they were all by themselves now, and that's where the real work begins in their life. And in reality, that's what God is doing in your and my life. When you and I are facing the battles of life, whether it be sickness, finance, relationship, or whatever it might be, in reality, that's what the Lord is doing. He's allowing these things sometimes to come upon us to make us more like Jesus. And whether you believe it or not, we are becoming stronger through those trials and tribulations. Even though you don't think you are, in reality, you are. God is doing a work in his people continually, and he knows. Look at the disciples, where they came from and where they ended in their life. Most all of them were martyred for their living for Jesus. But they were prepared because God had been working in them all along as they've been preaching the gospel and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. See, the thought does cross most mothers' mind again. Is it worth it when that baby was coming and you had the pain? But it was when the baby arrived, wasn't it? It was joy. So even through all the suffering and joy that you and I experience in life, there is an internal joy that the Lord put in us that no one can take away from you. The hardest thing for the disciples was when Jesus left. Religious communes were never high on Jesus' agenda for the church. He sent us out, didn't he, to preach the gospel. So we come again to John 16:33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." See, believe it or not, this is a promise. It's a promise because of the cross. Not as exciting as some of the other promises, though, right? that you're going to have tribulation. That's not exciting. Nobody jumped up just now or shouted amen. But Jesus, see, that's what I love about Jesus. He told us the truth, didn't he? He didn't try to tickle our ears to get them deceived, to get all the people around him. He told them straightforward stuff that was hard to hear, but he gave them the truth. And that's what I love about Jesus. He promised peace. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace." See, Jesus never hides the truth from his followers, ever. But he did say that he promised you'll have peace. When you look at others in the circumstance, you're not going to have peace. But when you look at Jesus in the middle of your circumstance, you're going to have peace. Because you know he's with you. And he's the deliverer. He's the helper. He's the healer. He's the supplier. He's everything you and I need, even in the middle of a storm. Jesus is there for us. Amen? Amen. See, he is truth personified. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that's no matter what any others say. And even in the churches, some churches today have changed their attitude. Even well-known evangelical preachers are saying that I believe he is the only way, but there are many other ways. No, there's not no but there. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Only way. He's the truth, the way, the life. He is it. Don't ever let anyone tell you that, well, other people, you know, they believe what they believe too, and that their way sounds pretty good too. It's what this says right here. It's what this says right here. And it's sad to hear even preachers at one time preach that have changed their thoughts. And some of them, you know, when you read about them, it says we have evolved. We've evolved. They've evolved on homosexuality. They evolved in their thinking. You don't evolve away from the Word of God. You stand up on the Word of God no matter what. Amen? See, Jesus never painted a picture of the discipleship that was only attractive and without displaying the cost. And you can read, and I'm not going to read this, but Luke 14:26-33, where he said, before you start building something, I'm paraphrasing, you better count the cost before you start. Those who are following Jesus simply for what they can get. Did you hear that? For what they can get, won't stick around when the going gets tough. And I've watched that many times in Christians' lives, even in my own, as I've grown in the Lord, even since we've started this church. There's people that can't handle the truth, the toughness of God's word, and they leave because they can't handle it. Because they want something that feels good, but Jesus gives us the things, the truth, to prepare us for the tough times of life. And I tell you, I need to hear that. I need to hear that. He says that his honesty has one aim, that in me ye might have peace. See, by Jesus telling us, it gives you peace in your mind, knowing that you're going to get through whatever you're going through. Amen? That brings peace to me. This too shall pass away, as the scriptures teach. Everything in your life that you're going through one time, it will eventually pass from you, and you will no longer struggle with that specific thing. And you may go into another situation because God is continually working on you and I. But sometimes you got to realize it's the enemy that's working on you too, and you got to take the authority of God's word and stand against it. Amen? I'm saying this quite a bit now. This isn't a cruise ship here, people. This is a battleship. Put on all your weapon. Put on the whole weapons, not just one piece. You got to put it all on because you don't know what direction the enemy's going to be shooting at. So you got to be ready at all times. And even through those times, the Lord is with us. Peace is only possible in Jesus. And that is, we live in a meaningful and consistent relationship. Did you hear that? A consistent relationship. Some Christians will cry out and say, this Jesus stuff isn't working for me. But then when you look at their lives, they're living here and they're living there and they're obeying here and not obeying here. They're picking and choosing what they want to do in here. And then they wonder why they don't have strength and peace and joy in their lives is because they're not living and obeying what Jesus said to do. And I'm not talking about God legalism. I'm talking about the things Jesus tells us about so that you and I can avoid the pitfalls of life. That's why you don't look at other people. Because maybe you don't know what's going on behind people's lives and how they're living and what they're saying and what they're doing or anything. We're to look at Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're to look at Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 25 and 27 says, "These things have I spoken on you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Amen. Praise the Lord! Amen. That's from Jesus. Amen. That's from Jesus. What are you walking through today? Impossible situations? Are you walking through tough times in your life right now? Troubles, distress, all kinds of things? Do what Jesus said to do right now. He said right here, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Because why? The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with us. But we can only happen is if we put our heart in faith and trust in the Lord. And quit looking at the circumstance. Your circumstance is a lot smaller than this big God we serve. Isn't he? God's a big God. Just think, he holds the waters of the world in the palms of his hand. Just think, he created all the universe, all the stars, the galaxies, and he named every one of them. Your circumstance is nothing for God. But many times our circumstance, God is allowing to develop in us character, to develop in us to be like Jesus, to develop in us to put our trust in him as we go through life, the older we get, and as trials come and go, that our faith is growing stronger and stronger. Our trials are shorter and shorter because we learn to trust in the Lord. And maybe even our trials don't seem as severe, even though they may be, but because of our Savior. I talked to a sweet lady yesterday, a sister in the Lord of one of the family members in our church here. And she didn't say I could use her name, so I'm not going to do it. But I'll tell you what, she was encouraging to me because I looked at a 95-year-old lady that loved Jesus all her life from, I think she told me, 8 years old, if I caught that properly when she said it. She's walked through many storms of life, but she lay there with a big smile on her face, quoting scripture, full of energy and joy, and it encouraged me because she was a true example of somebody looking at Jesus. Amen. Right to closing to the end of her life, I don't know. I think she'll be around a while, but you never know. The Lord's got a day and an hour. Did you know that? How many know that? Yeah. He knew the day you're going to be born, and he knows exactly the day that you will die. For it is appointed on the man once to die, then the judgment. He knows exactly that day and that hour that you will. He's going to have you leave this earth. We got to be ready, don't we? See, peace is necessary because of strife. And a promise of peace is a promise of strife. You can't experience peace unless you have strife sometime. Then you'll understand what peace is. All this adds up to tell us that peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Christ in your trouble. You can never truly experience peace until you've experienced chaos and trouble and trials and strife. Jesus wants us to know what it's really like for someone who wants to follow him. He promised trouble. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus never used the word carelessly, by the way. He never did. What he said was always considered. He never had to retract a statement because it had been ill-conceived. He never had to apologize for words he had not meant to say, which I do all the time sometimes. You can ask my wife. But see, Jesus never had to apologize for a thing he said. Jesus understood the power of what he said. It says in John 1:1, and this is incredibly important, people. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. Every word he spoke, he knew, has to be true so that men and women can build their lives upon it. It amazes me how preachers and people and Christians and missionaries and people that can think that they know better than what God has said, and they'll change the Word to fit their own ideals when Jesus is the Word. He's the truth. You can't get any better than this. You can make yourself feel better by taking the things away that step on your toes because you don't want to be obedient. But what Jesus said is all truth in this word. John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you. Listen to this. The words that I speak unto you, what are they? They are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and they're life. What are you speaking in your own personal life right now? What do you speak when nobody's around? What do you speak in your circumstance right now? You know what you need to speak? Bible says we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from God. And what did Jesus say right here? What did he say? Spirit, and they are life. When you and I take the word of God into our circumstances, into our troubles, into our stress, and we speak that, don't allow the enemy to come in and put in your mind things that bring fear and distress and heartache and doubt and frustration, but start to think on things of good report. Think upon the word of God, the things that Jesus said, and pretty soon that's going to bring life within that situation that you're walking through. I didn't make that up. That's in the Word of God. I just read it to you. Jesus knows how to bring life into yours and mine. Amen? If you need life, begin speaking the Word of God. If you need healing, speak the Word of God. Quit walking around giving organ recitals. Start preaching the Word of God to yourself because faith comes by hearing. If you're in your house by yourself and your big toe hurts, say, toe, you're healed in Jesus' name. You're healed. Isaiah 53:5, toe, you're healed in Jesus' name. It's a warfare. It's a warfare. Toe! 1 Peter 2:24. By Jesus' stripes, toe, you are healed. Hey, it brings life. And sometimes even when it's hurting, it makes you just feel good doing it, doesn't it? That's because life is starting to come within your life. Then you say, well, you know, that's easy for you to say, preacher. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not easy for me to say so much is that I've walked through things also. And the very thing I just told you to do, I've done it many times in my vehicle all by myself. I've done it many times when I was walking through things and I thought, this is the end of me. Literally. And I never got involved with doctors or anything because they couldn't find anything. And I just started quoting the Word of God. And pretty soon the life of God started coming in me. And the situation, the battle that I was raging for a period of time, gone. And I give the Lord all the glory, all the credit, because it's Him working in your and my life. But too many Christians are out there speaking the wrong thing. And Jesus says that His Word brings spirit and life into us. Amen. It's life. Jesus, the one that's in you and I, is life. And it manifests when we stand up on His Word. He begins to manifest His Word in us. Praise the Lord. I like what you said there, Brother Lynn. See, none of us have any reason to doubt or question the words of Jesus. What he said, he had a reason to say. And now that is a great concept that doesn't help us when we consider this statement, in the world you shall have tribulation. When you hear that, we all wish for trouble-free life, don't we? Man, that'd be, well, I don't know. Remember, no troubles, trials, stress. Please, we're Christians. We don't need that kind of stuff. Those well-meaning evangelists of trouble-free life need to remember one thing. Jesus said it would be like this. He said it would. He was preparing us. But I would concede that these words of Jesus are not an excuse for dwelling in our troubles, moping or in our adversities, or using such things for our gain. Jesus did have a plan, as we shall see later. Salvation is not accomplished by trouble exemption certificates. Trouble that is not unique. What everyone else experiences, because we are broken people living in a broken world. And I don't care whether you're young or old in here, you will experience trials and tribulations and distress should Jesus tarry in your life, because you live in this world. And we are not exempt, and yet we are at the same time protected. Listen to Psalms 91, 9 through 16. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. That's what we got to quote right there. You know, even though he was talking about Israel and the hardships through the wilderness, we take the same word, because we live by every word in here. We can do the same thing and take that word and believe and trust in what it says. Amen? Amen. Even amid this, the New Testament tells us to expect trouble, which can mean only one thing. God allows some or less than positive experiences for reasons that we may not understand. But they're happening. We don't understand them. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire in wanting nothing. Completeness right there. Patience. How many know you all need patience? Don't pray for it, whatever you do. Don't do it. Life has a way of helping you along the way, teaching us patience. I'm going to read that one more time, because I think it's awesome. My brethren, count it all joy. You can be joyful, whatever you're walking through. God is doing something in your and my life, even right now where you're sitting here. When you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When you are focused upon Jesus and you are seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness and everything that he is, you will find that you have want for nothing. And then as he blesses you in my life with the good things, because every good and perfect gift comes from God above, you will begin to rejoice and continue to rejoice, because when you seek him only and keep focused on him, he adds all these things to us. And he's doing a work in you and I when the trials and struggles are, as hard as they may be, God is there doing something in you and I. Praise the Lord. We may well go through similar things to our unbelieving family, our friends, our neighbors, but the question is not why do we experience such things, but how do we experience such things? That is, how we behave. Listen, how we behave, react, or talk amid them, and how such reactions either glorify God or deny his power in our lives. When you're walking through something and your unsaved neighbor, your co-workers, your classmates, wherever you are, and you're walking through something, they're watching you. If they know you are a born-again, blood-bought, Holy Ghost, devil-chasing, pew-jumping Christian, They're watching you. As soon as you and I enter a time, a season of trouble or trial, whatever it is, they're looking. They're saying, do they really believe in who they talk about? And that's vitally important for you and I to be aware of, that this Creator never leaves us, never forsakes us, never lets us down. It may seem like it, but He never does. But people are watching us. Even within this church here, people watch each other's. See, the trouble that is unique, that is things we experience because we love Jesus and wish to follow Him. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's why churches want to run to churches today, or people want to run to churches today where they only hear good things. But when the world really gets set on fire, and it's getting set on fire, people, there's going to be a bunch of people running a lot of different directions. But the people who are living according to the Word of God, and listen to what Jesus said, we are making preparation, foundation to take, should Jesus tarry, to be aware of and to go head on whatever's coming our way. Otherwise, we reject Him. But see, if we keep our eyes focused on Him, He's working in us to stand for what we believe. See, there are things we are to encourage to rejoice in because we are suffering for the name of Jesus and because we carry His banner in this world. There can be things that prompted by our enemy or humanity or by society. It is such troubles that we be for signs of the impending return of Jesus. And we're watching those right now, people. There's a lot of fearful people out there right now. It is such troubles that will be for us to be aware of and be prepared. And somebody comes to you and said, what's going on in the world? You should be able to give an answer. And not be ashamed. And said, Jesus said there was going to be this day in the world we're going to watch happen. And you got to stand for what you believe. It may be that your life at the moment feels chaotic yourself. You may be feeling under intense pressure or feeling regret or disappointment because of situations around you. But I want to encourage you. It is not necessary because you are a bad Christian or have done something wrong. In fact, it may be quite the opposite. A great Christian doing it all right, and things still happen, don't they? Things will happen. After all, that was certainly true of Jesus, wasn't it? Look what He was walking through on earth, and He was perfect, sinless, holy, righteous. But look what He experienced up on this earth, the things that He had to walk through. And He experienced everything you and I experience, and He did that willingly. But He's the one we look at. So if we accept that this is to be, it's to be expected, it is. It's going to happen. Do we just sit back and endure the pain and wait to be sainted as a modern-day martyr? No. Because Jesus has another plan. He promised triumph. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus did. He overcame the world. One of the great truths of the New Testament is the Christian triumphing in adversity. And these words of Jesus aim to remind us of one very important truth. We are not able to triumph. He is able to triumph. We forget that. If you're, again, in any situation, it's not you that's going to triumph. It's Jesus Christ in you that brings you the victory and the triumph. Amen? Yes. You trust. Trust is hard, isn't it? Lord, I trust You for my finances. Lord, I trust You with this bad report from the doctor. I put it in Your hands. He's going to help you and I to triumph when we keep our focus upon Him. These words of Jesus aim to remind us that He is the one that is able to, that we triumph. We have to realize when we are powerless, quit struggling to find our answers and turn to God. Too many people are playing God in their life. And they're losing. Is what you do is you go to Jesus, the true God, the one God. And that's the one you look at. And quit trying to struggle out of things that you, there's no way out. There's no way, no possibility. You turn it over to Jesus. Life is continually troublesome and stressful as long as we try to make it work ourselves. And it does. It gets harder and harder. That's why we need a Savior, people. We need a Savior. Jesus tells us here that the victory he was about to achieve was not for him. It was and is for you and I. That's who it was for. He did not need to come to earth for his own benefit. Just think about that. So the cross was the victory achieved for humankind. We need to look at the cross, what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. So the cross was a victory achieved for humankind. The greatest defeat we could ever experience is when we allow the difficulties we are having to take our attention off from God. Did you hear that? When we take them off from God. Yet the greatest victory we can experience is when we refuse to allow whatever is happening in and around us to remove our gaze and focus from walking with the Lord. Two truths to remember when in need of victory. It's not always our fault, and there are times when we are powerless to change the situation. Amen? And we can very often be victims of circumstances that we couldn't change whatever we did. If you moved into a circumstance or situation of your life and you see there's absolutely nothing, no one, anyone can help you with or accomplish in your life, that's when you just say, Lord, it's yours. Amen. Come on. Faith pleases God. And he loves it when his children say, Father, I need you. I need you. I'm just giving it to you. I'm tired of struggling. I'm trying to fight this battle on my own and nothing works out. It just goes from bad to worse, or it goes good and then it gets worse yet. And the Father just says, why don't you come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Wow. Are you sitting here this morning just kind of tired of your struggle? Are you? First John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Boy, I just think we should be shouting louder in the church than this. My ears aren't even hurting yet. I mean, I tell you, the Lord made it possible for all of us, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
See, despite the opposition, Satan and his host, the true church consisting of all true Christians, will triumph over the very gates of hell, just as Christ Jesus promised. I was listening to this Billy Monroe or whatever his name was yesterday about witches coming into churches in the hour that we're living, all over the country. One city, every church in the city's got witches in them. They're trying to destroy churches and people and pastors. But it was interesting what he said, because he was in Satanism himself and witchcraft, so he knew what it was all about. He said the only the churches that we had that we couldn't handle were the churches that preached the gospel. Amen. The whole gospel. Those are the only churches. And he said as well, he said you'll notice a witch will cover their eyes when they're amongst true Christians, because there's a light raining from them. And they couldn't look at it. This is coming from a guy who lived it. We got power living in us, people. We got power. We got the power of the Holy Ghost. We got the name of Jesus living within us. And I'm almost finishing up. How many believe that? Nobody. Okay. How confident are you today that God wants to lead you through your difficult and troubled experiences? Are you? I am. See, the tragedy is that so many of us live in the negativity of our circumstance, forgetting that God wants to free us. Free from the past, free from the pain, and free from the problem. And here's why I now quote this scripture, that earlier I said some find difficult to hear. It says in Romans 8, 35 and 39 through 39, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I like that. Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo. See, this is not a false motivational hype. It's eternal spiritual truth that I just gave you. It's not hype. It's truth. Jesus did honestly tell us to expect a rough ride at times, yet we are always clearly told to expect God to lead us through triumphantly. Amen. He always finished it that way. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us triumph. Woo! Say that again. Triumph. I love that word, don't you? In Christ. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. See, the key to triumph is to ensure that our attention is not distracted from the Lord. Whatever is happening in your life, this is the very desire of the devil. If our only way through is God, remember three things. Don't lose sight of him, people. Don't lose sight of him. Don't lose contact with him. And don't lose faith in him. One final thought. What Jesus did immediately after sharing the words we have looked at tells us so much about God's heart for those who find life troublesome experience. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. See, when we examine that prayer, we find that the majority of it was for you and I. It was for you and I. For our protection, for our joy, for our holiness, Jesus prayed. And Jesus, more than anyone else, knows the challenge of our faith facing tribulation. So he prays this for you in Romans chapter 8, verses 26, 27, and verse 34. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Amen. You've been there? I have. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Let's all stand, please. Praise the Lord. See, you can't walk out of here and be defeated. If you are, you're not looking at God. You didn't hear the word of God. So don't blame me, because I told you the truth, that God gives us the triumph and the victory, and we are more than conquerors. Amen? John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. Never give up. Never give up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're in there here this morning, you never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you've been in the church for a long, long time and you just want people to think you're a Christian. Or maybe you think you're a Christian because mom and dad or grandpa and grandma were Christians. You're not. Jesus said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous. No, not one. That we all have to make a personal commitment. We all need to come to repentance. That Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And we all need the blood of Jesus. And I just want to say this out loud. If there were any spirit of witchcraft in here, I bind it in the name of Jesus. It has absolutely zero power. We rebuke it in Jesus' name. I command it to be gone in the mighty name of Jesus. We need not fear it, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when you come to Jesus, you're in a safe place. You're ready to die. You're ready to take on whatever the world throws at you when you come to Jesus. Because even the world, when they have trials and tribulations, sure, they get through things, but they don't have an eternal hope. But I want to make an invitation. Is there anybody in here, even a Christian? Maybe you're not where you belong. You say, I need to get my life right with Jesus. I need to prepare my life for the afterlife. I need to know that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. Is there anybody, anybody in here this morning that would want to say, I need Jesus? Is there anybody in here right now that just say, I'm walking through a trial and a situation in my life that's very difficult right now? Is there anybody? Just lift your hand up. Don't look around. Just do it for Jesus. Okay. I want you all to, again, come up front. All you that had your hands raised. And we're going to pray together as brothers and sisters in Christ. The reason I want to do that, we come together of like faith. We come together and we're acknowledging one another. And if you want to come forward and lay hands on somebody, you feel free to do that too. Because God desires to use your life. Let's move way up here. Let's move up. So I want everybody right up in here. You notice I took a row of chairs out of here this week. That's what the front is for, that we come together to meet our God. We come together because the Lord is here right now. I don't know about you, but I just sense his presence. There's some that hold back because of pride. We know where pride gets us, don't we? But I tell you what, it's not, how many here know that it's not me that delivers you? How many know it's not me that heals you? That's right, I'm not. We're all vessels that God uses. But he knows every circumstance of every person that walked up here right now. And so together we're going to pray. And you that are sitting back there yet, lift your hands up and let's pray with me as we pray together as the body of Christ. I'm going to pray out loud and I would like you to pray with me, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And right now, Heavenly Father, I lift up my hands to heaven. And I surrender my circumstance, my health, my finances, my family, my difficulty at work or school or home. Lord, I lift up my relationships before your throne right now. And I put my trust in you, Father. And I surrender them to you. And right now, Jesus, help me to keep my mind stayed on you. Even when I leave Crossfire this morning, help me to praise you. Help me not to think about the preacher. Help me not to think about other people. But Jesus, help me to focus upon you, as you are doing a great work in the circumstance that I am walking through right now. That you're going to bring healing. That you're going to bring deliverance. And Lord, you're going to fill me with peace and joy. And you're going to comfort my heart and life. And I give it to you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you. Heavenly Father, right now I lift up these people in the name of Jesus, all of the people within this building right now. I lift them up in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that your anointing of your Holy Spirit continue to move upon this body, Father, that you will supernaturally touch each home, each person, Lord, with bless their finances, their health, their ministry, their walk with you, their families, their relationship. Touch every area, Lord, mentally, spiritually, physically, every area, Lord. Pour out your grace and mercy upon our people, Lord. And let us all come back together rejoicing with testimonies, Lord, for you're ever working, you're ever present. And you, Lord, you're the one that will give us the strength when we feel weak this week. You're going to show us your strength and your presence and your power in our life. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Lord, bless you. Praise the Lord. Have some good fellowship. And I'll pray with anyone that would like prayer before you go too. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shake somebody's hand and say, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited.